magnify your name, oh God. Well, we are excited about what God has done in this place, what he did this morning, filling people with the Holy Ghost, for the one who is baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of his sins. We are excited about what God's going to do for the remainder of the week at Ignite, and we're pumped about that. But before we go to Ignite and before we do anything else, I believe that God has a word in this house for somebody. Does anybody believe that God is here to speak to us? I said, does anybody believe that God is here to speak specifically to this church? Before we call Brother Prado to the pulpit, why don't we lift every hand and every heart and pray a prayer of repentance? Come on. All across this house, God, I pray that you would purge us. I pray that you would sweep over this place. Oh, God, come on, every hand, every heart lifted. God, we need your spirit. We can do nothing without you, oh, God. I pray that you would wash us, that you would cleanse us, God. I pray that you would prepare our hearts for the going forth of your word, oh God. That you would cause us tonight to be good ground to receive the word, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, pray it right now. God, create within us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us, oh God. Make us receptive to your word tonight, oh God. Brother Prado, come tonight and preach the word of God to us. Tell us what the Holy Ghost is saying.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. There's a wonderful presence of the Lord. Let's just take a few seconds. Hallelujah. And just praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, and we're going to preach from the 23rd verse. I really do feel like the miraculous working of the Holy Ghost is here tonight, and I believe that if we'll be sensitive to God, There will be signs and wonders that take place here tonight. And I believe that God wants to heal. I believe that God wants to open the windows of heaven. And I really do feel a wonderful and powerful presence of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. The prophet Jeremiah writes and says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And I want to preach to you tonight on this very simple subject, when God pays you back. When God pays you back. When God pays you back. Father, I thank you for this moment in time that you've created so that we might be able to enter into your presence and worship you. I'm asking you that you would anoint me now in these next few moments to preach your word to your people. They are a precious people. I thank you for allowing me to speak to them. Now open my mouth wide and allow me to speak as the oracles of the Lord. In Jesus' name, and everyone shout amen. Let's give Jesus a great big hand praise right now. Come on, take some time. Take some time. Hallelujah. 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 Shake your neighbor's hand and give them a great big God bless you. You may be seated. A few months ago, I was preaching a revival for a very good friend of Brother Sutton and I. He's a very well-known pastor I'm certain that he's preached here on more than one occasion. At the end of a particular service, he began to tell me a story. And at the time, I have to be very honest with you, I was struggling. I was exhausted. I was very tired. I was giving God my best, but I felt very depleted. And it was from this story that he told me that I'm about to relate to you that this message was birthed, and from that period in my life. He said, "Brother Prado, there was a time when I pastored a rather small church." Today he's the pastor of a very large church, but he said, "One of the first churches I ever pastored, there was a woman in that church. She was very complicated." He said she had lived a very sinful life prior to coming to the Lord, and as a result of that, she had several deep and foreboding regrets. In spite of being baptized, in spite of having the Holy Ghost, she lived with a ton of regrets. And those regrets haunted her. They afflicted her. They wore her thin. He said, "Hardly a service ever went by when she would not ask to speak to me." He said, "And it was really always the same thing. Pastor, I did this. Pastor, I did that. I don't know if God can forgive me. I feel so tormented. I feel so conflicted." So he would lay his hands on her head and pray for her like any good pastor would, and just kind of talk her back into her right mind. But the next week, it would be the same thing all over again. She was known around the church as being kind of the lady with the issues. She was, other than that, very harmless. Everyone loved her, but they knew that if she can get you in a corner, she would unload on you. One day, the pastor had called for a church cleanup, and there was several of the men there at the church, and they were painting and mowing the lawn, etc. And the pastor looked off into the distance, and he could see somebody walking towards them. And lo and behold, it was this sister. And the men in the church started kind of chuckling because they knew that pastor would have to put down the paintbrush for at least an hour and talk to this woman about something that they talked about every week. And everybody knew how it was going to end, with a very small prayer, a laying on of the hands, and waiting for next week to come. And so, sure enough, she crossed the church lawn. She asked the brothers where the pastor was. They pointed her in the direction. The pastor put down the paintbrush and stepped aside and spoke with her. And the same thing: "Pastor, I'm bothered. Pastor, I'm tormented. Pastor, I did this, I did that. Would you please pray for me?" He did as he had always done. He laid his hands on her head, prayed a prayer, asked God for peace on her mind, and he sent her off. He turned around and went back to painting the wall he was painting, and she began to walk away. And he told me, he said, "Brother Prado, for whatever reason, as I was painting, I felt to just turn around and watch her walk away." He said, "And the minute I turned around and I watched her walking away," he said, "God spoke to me," if he's ever spoke to me. He said, "God said, you will never see her again." He said, "Brother Prado, that was the last time I ever saw that woman." He said, "Well over 20 years have passed by. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know where she is. I don't know what state she's in. That was the last time I saw her." He said, "A few weeks went by and a man came into my church. He got baptized. The first service he came, him and his wife got baptized. He said, when they came out of the water, they came out of the water speaking in tongues. God filled them with the Holy Ghost. He said, this man asked to speak with me after service. And he said, Pastor, he said, we want to know everything." And if you've been around church long enough, you know that we will usually play a good game of dodgeball with you if you say that. And he said, "Well, you know, let's just take this one day at a time." He said, "No, no, 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 no." He said, "I want to know everything." And then his wife jumped in and said, I see how these ladies dress. He said, we want to know everything. And we noticed you guys took up an offering and there's all kinds of money going in there. He said, we want to know what that's all about too. And we want to know what all the hair and the skirts and the ties and the shirt. We want to know all about that. And so he said, well, if you're asking, I'm going to give it to you. And he said they spent about a solid 2 hours after church just going over everything. Everything from Malachi to Corinthians to you name it. The whole enchilada. And the man got up and said, this is awesome. I didn't get a big amen on that. Said, this is awesome. He said, this is exactly what my wife and I have been looking for all our lives. He said, Brother Prado, the man had a very good job. He was very faithful in all his giving. Him and his wife jumped in head first into the gospel. He said, they were faithful. They never missed. He said, I remember like it was yesterday when they came into my office and they said, Pastor, we feel like God is dealing with us. We're faithful. We're very successful. We have good jobs, but we feel like God is calling us to the ministry. He said, during that time, the church was in a financial position to where it could actually afford staff. He said, so I put the man as my assistant pastor. He said, I never in my life have had a man this faithful, this dedicated, this loyal. He said he was my assistant pastor for years. He said, I'll never forget it like it was yesterday. After being my assistant for several years and faithful in all the house of God, he talked to me one day and he said, I want to go start a church. He said, man, that's awesome. You've proven yourself. You're definitely cut out for this. The man went, he started a church. He's a pastor today. He said, Brother Prado, just the other day, he said, I was in my truck. I was thinking about this man, and I began to cry. I started thanking God for faithful people like this man. He said, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I was paying you back for all the times you spoke with that lady. I was paying you back for all the hours and all the extra prayers and all the times you counseled with a lady that would otherwise wear most people out. And I want to preach to you tonight that God pays back. I want to preach to you that God does not pay us back because he owes us anything. God pays us back because great is his faithfulness, because he is our portion, and because he is rich in mercy and goodness. And
oh, hallelujah.
I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I just feel like somebody needs to hear this word. We got a God that pays back. We got a God that gives back. We got a God that keeps good records. We got a God that's watching everything that happens. God does not obligate us to pay us back, but can I preach to you that God is not pleased when he sees unfair, unjust, and wrong things happen to us. And although he doesn't owe us anything, and although he's under no obligation to do it, he will do it. He will come back into our lives and pay. Oh, come on. Magnify Jesus here just for a few seconds. Come on. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody, you're going to get a payback. You're going to get a payback. I'm preaching to somebody, you've been fatigued, you've been tired, you've been worn out, but God's got a payback for you. I'm preaching to somebody, what happened to you wasn't right. What happened to you was not just, but you're going to get a payback. I'm preaching to somebody right now, amen, that feels like life has ripped them to shreds. Amen, you're going to get a big payback. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm reminded of the verse in the book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 25 when the Lord says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten up, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. You know, a lot of people don't realize this when they read this verse. That is not speaking of four different species of insect. It's speaking of one insect that has four phases. It's first, amen, hallelujah, it's first a palmer worm, then it turns into a caterpillar, then it's a canker worm, and then it's finally a locust. You know, there are some trials, they got phases. At each phase, that little nasty bug eats stuff up. Oh, you ain't hearing me. Hallelujah. Come on, I've had some of these trials. Year one, you get sick. Year two, your mama dies. Year three, you lose your job. It's getting quiet on me now. Hallelujah. I'm talking about while I was in church. Year four, people start talking about you. And God says, I will repay to you everything that trial has devoured. In one day, in one year, I'll give you back what 4 years took away. I'm preaching so good right now. This ain't even funny. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You've been... Come on. I'm preaching to somebody right now. The palmer worm ate everything up. The caterpillar ate everything up. The canker worm ate everything up. And the locust has been wreaking havoc on your life. And that's in spite of you being faithful. That's in spite of you being a good person. That's in spite of you not doing anything wrong. And yet this trial has just been creeping and eating away at your life. And God says, tonight I'm going to start the payback. Tonight I'm going to start giving you back everything that this thing has taken away from you. I'm preaching to some people, maybe you haven't even been in church very long, but God's going to give you back everything child abuse took away from you. God's going to give you back everything methamphetamines took away from you. God's going to give you back everything that divorce took away from you. God's going to give you back everything that molestation took away from you. God's going to give you back. Come on. Come on. Come on. He's a good God. Shake it off. Don't let the devil lie to you. God is that good. God's going to give you back everything that prison took away from you. God's going to give you back everything. Oh, Jesus. Yes! Come on, get it, get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. He's that good. 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 Go, 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 go. God's talking. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. God can restore. God can repay. God can repair. God can return. God can do it. Yes. Oh, Jesus. I have a friend. The wife died on him. Not a good situation. He went into a dark hole. I remember one year, Dawson, I said, hey man, let's go to No Limit. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. He pastored a church. Man, he had all kinds of people do him wrong. People betray him. People talk about him. Wife dies, then people start talking about him more. And he just went into this hole. I mean, the canker worm, the palmer worm, the loc, it had its way. And I told him, I said, hey, man, let's go to No Limits, local conference there we have in California. He said, I don't know. I said, no, man, let's go. He said, I don't know. I said, you need to go. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You need to get around God's people. There are times... No matter how bad you want to stay out the church, no matter how bad you don't want to hear no praise, no matter how bad you don't want to wake yourself up, dress yourself up, brush your hair and come down to the house of God, you got to do it. Because I'm telling you, I'm preaching prophetically right now. You know what? And I'm going to get back to my story, but let me tell you another story.
I had a lady come to my church the other night. Amen. It was God's church, but she came to God's church the other night. And she said, Brother Prado, will you please pray for me? I laid my hands on this woman. And immediately in the Holy Ghost, I could see that she was surrounded by a cloud of darkness. And I didn't feel like God was going to lift it at any time. But I felt the Holy Ghost speak to me and said, she needs to replace that cloud of darkness. Amen. With the people of God. Sometimes the only answer, amen, to that cloud of darkness that's been looming over your life is to exchange those clouds with some good people. Exchange those clouds with a brother and a sister. Exchange those clouds for a pastor. Exchange those clouds for a youth leader. Exchange those. I said, hey, bro. I said, we need to go. He said, no. I said, yes. He said, no. I said, yes. He said, all right, let's go. We went. We walked into the service. There was a man there. I had not seen this man in years. He used to go to my friend's church. And he did my friend the favor before leaving of totally betraying him. And just causing all kinds of havoc and trouble in his life. And you know me, I'm just one of those people. I'm a get up in the mix. So I went up to him and said, hey, bro, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. You're still in church. That's great. You know who's over there? He said, yeah, I saw him walk in. I said, why don't you go talk to him? And really what I'm saying is like, why don't you go say sorry? Yeah, I'm going to pressure you like that. He said, yeah, I'm going to go talk to him. He went up to go talk to him. He asked him, he said, where's your wife? He said, she died. He said, you're kidding. He said, no. See, unless you've ever had your spouse die on you, you may not understand what I'm talking about right now. But when your spouse dies on you, you can't always just get up, pack your house, and move to another house. And the irony of that is that now the paint on the wall reminds you of your husband and your wife. The bed you both slept in for so many years, you roll over on it, they're not there. Pictures on the wall. And you know that you cherish the house, but it's also a kind of a prison. It's getting quiet on me. And he was stuck. He knew. And you know, when you got kids, you can't just always move on. Because you're not just moving at your own speed. You're trying to move at the speed of your family. And kids don't always move as fast as adults. And so he knew he was stuck. And he knew he was running out of power quick. He was running out of motivation quick. This man said, where's your wife? He said, my wife died. He said, you're kidding. He said, no. They talked. The man said, well, it was good seeing you. He said, it was good seeing you too. He said, you know what? I'm really sorry about all the things I did to you. He said, you know what? It's all forgiven. Don't worry about it. Trial that happened years ago, now totally fixed. My friend got home. And when he got home, this man's wife called him. She said, I heard your wife died. He said, yes, my wife did die. This lady is extremely wealthy. Very, very, very wealthy. She said, you know what? I know how hard it is to lose your spouse. In fact, this woman, she had a huge hospice business. And she said, I know how hard these things can be. She said, especially when you have kids. And yet you know there has to be a change, but you can't change too quick because it messes with the kids' heads. She said, I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to remodel your whole house. She paid for over $100,000 in remodeling. Somebody needs to let this get in their spirit that God pays back. God will do it for you. God will do it for you. I'm trying to pull somebody out of a hole right now. I'm telling you, God will do it for you. What sickness takes away, what death takes away, what life takes away, what trials take away. God is watching. God's watching over you. He's watching your spirit. He's watching your tears. He's bottling them and counting them. And guess what? He's going to pay you back. Come on, New Life. Come on. I promise you, I'm not going to preach long. I don't have a lot of notes. I just feel like I got a word for somebody that there's a big payback coming your way. There's a big... You know, as you, as some of you have probably heard, I pastor two churches. I still travel a lot. The other day, we had a youth camp, like an Ignite. We had some kids. We had five kids. We had five kids. Three of them said, we want to go. Very poor people. Very poor people. I said, I'll pay. If you guys will go to youth camp, I'll pay. My wife looked at me like, we don't have that kind of money. I said, God will bless us and God will pay us back for taking care of these kids. My wife said, well, I don't know, this is over $600. She said, I don't know where you're going to come up with it. I said, I don't either. I came up with it, put them all in the van, drove them 3 hours there, drove back and forth to check up on them. These kids have never left their home. These kids never seen anything outside their block. Huh. As I was driving the van, I had one of the kids in the back, young man. I said, hey, bro. I said, where's your dad? His mom's very faithful. I've never really got to talk to them. I said, where's your dad? He said, I don't have a dad. I said, you just don't know your dad? He said, I've never talked to my dad. I said, well, where is he? He said, he's dead. God said, if you give to the fatherless, he'll repay you. Hey, people, this isn't just babble and nominalism. When God says stuff like this, he means stuff like... I'm preaching to somebody. You get out there and you start mixing it up, God will pay you back. God ain't playing games. Hey, I got news for you. You start shoveling blessings on somebody, God's got a bigger shovel than yours, and he'll start shoveling... I told him, I was holding back the tears as I was driving down, and I thought, you know what, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I want to put my money, I want to put my time, and I want to put my effort in improving people's lives, because at the end of the day, nothing else matters, nothing, nothing. Come on, come on. I'm not just trying to play church. I'm trying to change my world one person at a time, one kid at a time. And who the world... I'm holding back the tears. I'm telling you, I'm already going broke taking these kids. That same week was my wife's birthday. That same week was our anniversary. And I'm thinking, God, I don't even know how I'm going to take care of all this. I drove those kids to the youth camp. Man, drove all the way back home. I told my wife, I said, I promise you, I'm going to take you out. I promise you we're going to have a good time. She said, that's fine. I trust you. I'm telling you, I went into my daughter's room. I didn't want my wife to hear me. I laid on my daughter's bed. I started crying. And I said, God, you know I'm broke. And I said, God, you said you would repay. Hey, God's a big boy. You don't gotta get shy and bashful with God. God is the most moral and integral being in the universe. If God says something, you can hold him to his word. He said, I am not a man that I should lie. You know what? I said, God, I need money right now. Real talk. I need money right now. I started crying. God said, I'm going to give you money right now. I put my shoes on. That's what you do when God says right now, in case you don't know. You put your shoes on. And that's another message. You come back some other time when I'm here. We'll preach about that. I put my shoes on, Dawson. I went out to the van. I got a backpack that I use for all my computer stuff, all my equipment. I'm not kidding you. I zipped open that bag. I flipped it upside down, and $135 came out of that thing. Now, let me be honest with you. I'm not saying God put it in there. In fact, I know that that money had been in there for several months, but I had not seen it for several months. I had forgotten that it was in there. And God said, I got you covered and I'll take care of you. I'm telling you people, you cannot outgive God. You cannot out-resource. Come on, help me preach. There's a nasty spirit of doubt and resistance. And you know that... You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants you to get to the point to where his oppression in your life seems normal. He wants you to get used to the lights being out. He wants you to get loose, used to being broke. He wants you to get used to being depressed, used to being sad, used to just taking it in the teeth. He wants you to think that that's normal. Because when you think it's normal, you'll never fight. When you think it's normal, you'll never rise up in his face and say, I don't receive this. I reject this. I don't accept this. This is not what God's word said. God said he'll pay me back. He may not do it like I think, but he's going to do it some way. He's going to do it somehow. Hey. Here's the truth. I was telling Stephen the other day. I said, you know what? We were starting a church. I was driving down the. I'm telling you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh. Oh, Señor Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was a word from the Lord for you. That was for you. That was for you, New Life. That was... I'm only going to say this because God's been dealing with me for this for about the last 5 minutes. There are people here, if you have adopted children, I want you to be some of the first people up here in this altar. And I want you to shoot your hands in the air, because I'm telling you right now, God's got a payback for you. And it may not be financial, it may be financial, but I'm telling you, God's fixing to honor his word right now. And he said that if you take care of the fatherless, he'll take care of you. And whatever your needs are today, you need to come up before the throne of God and you need to say, Lord Jesus, amen, you have ordered of me that I come boldly before your throne in the time of need. Amen. And right now, I need this, I need that, whatever it is that you need, I want you to go before God with boldness, with your hands in the air and tell him, I don't care if it's emotional, financial, physical, I'm telling you, God's looking to honor his word right now. Do you understand that that word we got between God, it's not just smack, it's a contract, honey. God signed it, sealed it, amen, and he wants to deliver it. Let's just pray for a second. I'm done preaching. I have nothing else to say. But there is a spiritual force in this place right now. There's a payback in the house. There's a payback in the house. There's a payback in the house. There's a pay. Oh, come on. Come on, come out of your seat. Let's get in the God zone here. Hallelujah. 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 Don't let timidness get in your way right now. Don't let false humility get in the way right now. Hallelujah. If you have a need, come before the Lord right now. There's a payback in the house. Come on. Everything that Palmer worm ate up is coming back. Everything that locust ate up is coming back. Everything that canker worm ate up is coming back. Everything that caterpillar ate up is coming back. I see. Oh, yeah. Come on, if you're raising your grandkids, you need to be up here right now with your hands in the air. You're raising your niece and nephew, you need to be up here right now with your hands in the air. Come on, if you're a stepmom or a stepdad and you're helping raise somebody else's kid, shoot those hands in the air. Don't get frustrated. Don't get fatigued. Don't get worn out. Raise your hands in the air and ask God for refreshing. I feel the grace of God. I feel the love of God. I feel the goodness of the Lord. I feel the portion of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh.
than yourself, but I haven't lived perfect. It's going to offset everything. But I tell you this night, I am the judge. I know the depths of your heart. I know your mind. I'm still going to reward according to my goodness and my mercy, my grace. Say not to yourself that I am not worthy, that I am unworthy of what the Lord would do for me.
Oh. I'm going to let go of this, but this is the gospel truth. We just heard from God. I told Stephen on the car right here to church. And I told Stephen, I said, you know what? In fact, this morning, right before I came out to preach, I came out here. I was like, God, I don't even deserve to be in front of nobody. I'm not perfect. I stumble my way through just about everything. But you know what I will do? I will listen to God when he talks to me. Amen. And I told Stephen, I said, every door that opens in my life, I'm not here to talk about me, but I just want you to understand, every door, every window that God opens in my life, I told Stephen, I said, if you'll, it's an obedience thing. That's what God's looking for. Yes. God's not looking for perfect humans because they've never existed.
Amen.
But what does exist is our ability to listen and obey. And if God says give, we give. And if God says go, we go. And in spite and despite our imperfections, he will repay. He will repay. He will reward. Oh, come on. For 10 seconds, let's clap like we believe that. Let's clap like we believe that. Let's shout like we believe that. Woo! Not perfect, but I'm praising. Not perfect, but I'll listen. Not perfect, but I'll go. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Brother Collins, I'm going to hand the mic to him. I want him to close this service out in prayer. But let's give the Lord one more good hand praise right now before we...
Brother Mark stood in this pulpit 2008 and said, what if God decides to pay you back in one revival? The Avenger comes in one season and pays you back for all of your sacrifice. And I can hardly even do this tonight. But I felt the whole service that we were fighting. We were wrestling with something. I feel like God is moving us into that season. I don't even know how to frame it. I just see a lot of faces. I see a lot of Bible studies. I see a lot of financial investment. I see a lot of prayer. I see a lot of knocking, a lot of faithfulness. Brother Prado, about 3/4 through the end of your sermon, I felt something break in my spirit. And I just want to tell somebody tonight, you're about to walk into the fulfillment of all of your sacrifice. Yeah. Every prayer that you prayed, every sacrifice that you made, all of your dedication, your staying, your commitment. A single mom that just kept living for God and kept praying and kept paying the bills and kept putting one foot in front of the other. God has come tonight to tell somebody he's not an unjust judge. He gave us the story, but he's not an unjust judge. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful friend. He's a faithful father. He's going to pay you back. Let's just lift our hands and talk to him for just a moment. God, we need your spirit. We need your power. We need your anointing, oh God. Visit your people. Shatarakia Sotoroko Saha Roshokotoroko Shatarabaya Siabaha Roshondoloko Siabaha Rakinde Sakataraha Shatarabayo Rande Karaka Satarabayo Soho. Come on, God's getting us ready to travel. He's come to tell somebody there won't be one feeble among us. God's going to put shoes on your feet and clothes on your back. He's going to put a staff in your hand. He's going to give you provision for the journey. He's going to give you houses that you didn't buy and fields that you didn't plant and a harvest. God's going to come and he's going to visit you. Rabba sataraki satarabayoso. Rey baratisanda rabe rabandosa. Nay rabashondo kariasi. Rade asa rabani rey shekeasa. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, oh God. God bless you tonight. I don't really know how to dismiss this. Share your faith and your strength with somebody around you. Go with God. Get ready to move. Get ready to travel. God bless you.